The words of our Lord from Matthew chapter 5 in verse 37 says, "And let your statement be this, yes, yes, no, no, and anything beyond this is evil." Good morning, West Irwin. Man, you sound great this morning. I want to say welcome again to every person that is here, whether presently or online. We are incredibly grateful for your presence. We know that you could have been other places. Perhaps you do normally worship at a different church besides this one. But this morning you chose to be here, and for that we are incredibly grateful. I don't think I could have said it better than one of our former shepherds, Jay Bynum, when he said that Jesus was perfect and he came to this earth in order to redeem a people that he loves, imperfect with all of our warts. And we want you to know, if you remember anything from today's message and from your time being here, it's that you have a God that loves you, you have a God who has a purpose for your life. And if you are looking for a perfect church, I am sad to inform you that you are in the wrong place, because there's not a single perfect person in this room, the last time I checked. But we happen to have a relationship with God because of His Son, who loved us enough to die for us. And the truth is, if it was just you, I believe that God would have sent His Son just for you. And so we hope that you will be encouraged this morning. I want to start out this morning by sharing, I guess, a picture with you, and really an experience. You know, there's a challenge to introducing a message. And the challenge is simply to try to not only introduce the subject matter, but try to relate to the audience. And I think I have a topic here that most of us will relate with. And it's a telemarketer. Just by a show of hands, who here this week received a phone call from a telemarketer? Almost, for those that are watching online, maybe you can't see the crowd like I could see from this point of view. Almost all of you, if you've received more than five this week, would you raise your hand? Almost all of you. And out of all the people that received a call from a telemarketer, how many of you enjoyed it? Not a single person. Well, and you see, you thought you were coming just to get a message from Jesus. I'm actually going to play a video clip here in just a moment that will help equip you to turn away the telemarketers from ever calling you again. Now, it is a short clip, and I am going to play it in just a moment, but let me say something about the clip. It is from a professional prankster named Jack Vell. Some of you might know who Jack Vell is. He's appeared on the George Lopez Show, Jimmy Kimmel, Fox and Friends, on the Fox News Channel, has 1.8 million followers. And I emailed him this week, and he actually responded and gave me the contents rights to be able to play part of one of his silly things that he does. And so I want to shout out to Jack, because I know that he's going to be watching this. He's requested to be able to get a copy of the video. I want to say thank you to him, and I hope that you enjoy this. It looks like we might be having some technical difficulties with the video. The sound. To the tech team. You do a great job back there. Can we get some sound, please? Well,
yeah, what can he do for you here?
Hi, my name is Sandra,
just to let you know, this call may be recorded to ensure quality service. How are you today?
Yeah, no, I'm fine, sweetheart. How are you doing?
That's good to hear. I'm doing good. Thank you for asking.
Oh, nice. That's wonderful. Just wonderful. Who is this now?
Thank you. Mr. Jack C., is it Valley?
No, you're talking to Jack, you're talking to Mr. Vale, V-A-L-E, Vale.
Vale.
That's right.
Sorry,
that's
that wrong,
that's
yes.
With a V.
Mr. Vale?
That's with a V for victory.
I'm calling.
Or a lot of other things,
yes,
of course,
I'm calling
start
from
with
Discover
the letter
card.
V. Whatever the nature is
okay.
Here of the business, I'm all ears here. Of course, some people say
sir,
I have large
I continue,
ears, but... all right, I'm sorry, I'm Ubering. I did an Uber job when I take people around.
You're fine.
Thank you. That's very nice of you. I think you are too. Of course, I've never seen a picture of you, but I believe that would be the case. I'm 82 years old. Can you believe that? Jack Vale, Sr. Oh, are you trying to get a hold of my boy? Are you trying to get a hold of June Jack Vale Jr., my son? And this is Jack Vale Sr. now that you're talking
to
now. So if you need my boy, I can give you his phone number.
Yes.
It's 714-916. You might want to get yourself a pencil here. Oh, I'm pulling up to my next. There we go.
Can you confirm if you were born in 1963
for me? The Mulberry Bush. No. I think maybe she had hung up here on the telephone.
Oh, I guess that's...
Give me anxiety.
Under the mulberry bush. The mulberry bush. None of us likes how that feels. It starts out, you know, one way, and then it ends up a completely different way. Nobody likes a telemarketer. We don't have any telemarketers in the crowd, do we? If you're watching online, we really like you, and if there's any here, we like you. But for the most part, we don't like telemarketers. Why? Because they call us at the most inopportune times, right? They call us when we really don't want them to call us. They're persistent in, quote, bothering us, but more than anything, they violate our conscience. And I would argue that if we are not careful, that we can do some of the same things in our efforts to try to be helpful to somebody that perhaps has a worldview or has a perspective or is doing things that we think is unhealthy. We do this through our words, we do this through our attitudes, and we do this through our actions. When we're trying to get somebody to make a decision that we think is better for their life without regard to one of the most important things when it comes to the decision-making process, which is the human conscience. Because that's really what Jesus is talking about, what I believe he is addressing in this text, is human conscience. Yes be yes, no be no. In anything beyond this, Jesus says, our Lord says, our Master says, is evil. You see, what God wants from His people and what He wants from you, what He wants for you to be in the context of trying to be helpful, and God bless you if you're trying to be helpful to your friends and to your family members, is He wants us to be consistently credible. And I would argue, the first thing I would argue is that in a culture where truth is compromised, Christians, People who would identify as being a follower of Jesus Christ is called to be consistently credible. Credibility is something that the mindset of the person that Jesus is addressing in Matthew chapter 5 really struggled with. In fact, if you have your Bibles, you will want to read with me. I'm going to put it up on the projection screen or on the monitor if you're watching this from home. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 33. This is the New Living Translation. You have also heard that our ancestors were told, you must not break your vows. You must carry out your vows you make to the Lord. But I say to you, do not make any vows. Do not say, by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. Verse 35, and do not say, by earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say, by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the great city of the king. And do not even say, by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Now, what is Jesus talking about when he talks, as this translation says, vows? Your translation might say oaths. And I know that there's another translation that uses the word swearing. Well, let me tell you what he's not talking about. When he's talking about swearing, he's not talking about cussing. Now, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth except that which is going to build up. So I think that would take care of swearing. I'm not arguing for the use of swear words or cuss words. But that's really not what's going on in this text. In fact, the text that Jesus is alluding to, there's two of them, is Leviticus chapter 19 in verse 12 and Numbers chapter 30 in verse 2. And what those verses are talking about is if you say that you're going to do something, you need to follow through with what you say that you're going to do. Now, I have to pause here for just a moment and say something about Leviticus chapter 19. Because the text that Jesus is referencing here in its original context, Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 12, is actually seen in the context of what we would call a welfare system. And let me just say that I am incredibly grateful to look at passages like that in the Old Testament and see that God cares enough about those that are in need, poor people, that he would actually state something within his law to take care of them. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that this church does that on an exceptional level through our what we refer to as our benevolent ministry that is headed by our brother Davey Carter. And I know Davey's either going to be watching this now or he's going to be watching this later. And I just want to say to Davey and Sonia that we care about you, we appreciate you, and we are incredibly grateful for your ministry and what it means to the city of Tyler, and feeding the homeless, and clothing the homeless, and those that are in need in this city. We are incredibly, incredibly grateful. And so what is Jesus talking about when he talks about oaths? Is he saying that you shouldn't make an oath or make a vow at all? Well, I would argue that there's actually several places in the Old Testament in which God made oaths. In fact, we see that Paul, one of the authors of 13 of your New Testament books, church planner superb, spirit endowed, miracle working, he was one who made vows in multiple places in your New Testament. So what is Jesus talking about when he says don't make vows? Well, see, by the time that Jesus showed up, vow making, oath making, swearing became nothing more than an excuse for lying. And this is what I mean. As a person in the first century might go to somebody who made a promise to them or made a vow to them or made an oath or swore to them, and they would say, well, I really didn't mean it when I say it because I didn't swear by Jerusalem. I didn't swear on God's throne or the earth or by God. And if we're not careful, then we can do some of those same things. I mean, we say things like, well, I promise. Or if somebody's asking us something, well, do you promise you'll do that? Do you swear that you'll do that? We say things like, God is my witness, or my word is my oath. It is my bond. These are things that we are familiar with in our culture. And what we want to be is we want to be a people who don't need to polish up our words in order for our words to be believed. You see, that's what they were doing. They were pawning the truth of something that was known for the truth of something that wasn't. The truth that was known as God, with a view towards not really fulfilling what they said. Let me say it in simple terms. We want to be a people who speak truth. Amen. We want to be a people who are sincere when we say something. Because we live in a world, that is starving for sincerity. We live in a world that is starving for truth. And in a world that is starving for truth, we need to be the kind of people whose every word is proof of what we say and what we believe. I mean, in a world of clickbaiting, we live in a world of fake news, in AI-generated world. You know, the saying used to be, you can't believe anything that you hear, and you can only believe half in what you see. Unfortunately, today, that's not even the case. Let me say it in a more maybe generational-friendly way. We live in a world of highlight reels, where people curate their lives so as to look more moral, to look happier and more successful online than they actually are. This is the world that we live in. We live in a world where people are prone to not keeping their promises. Husbands to wives, wives to husbands, parents to children, employers to employees. We need to be a kind of people who keep our word without the polish and without the push. Who, when they say something, when you say something, or when I say something, that I am going to actually follow through with what I say that I'm going to do. This is who we are called to be, yes? We live in a world where the world wants truth, but instead, it's afraid to speak up for truth for fear that it's going to get backlash. The modern term is canceled. The modern term is ghosting, right? It's a term that describes that if I do this, then people are just going to kind of X me off of their list. Let me say something, church, and I want you to hear me, is that our standing before God should be the thing that we care about more than anything else. In God's perspective of me and shaping of me, and He does it gracefully and He does it patiently, should mean more to me than what somebody else's perspective or expectation of me. I should care more about what God thinks and less about what others think if what others think causes me not to want to stand for what God thinks. In a world that is starving for truth, let your words, your every word, be true. And when you speak truth, say what is true. Yes? And then trust that truth to stand. It reminds me of one of my favorite stories, story of an old cowboy. The cowboy is is riding along on his horse, and he comes across a Native American Indian. You know, you have to make the clarification there. There's two types of Indians, right, in the world. And he comes across, and this Indian is laying on the ground, and he's laying on his stomach, in fact, and it's as if he is listening to the ground. And the cowboy stops, and he says, "Are you okay?" And he hears the Native American say something and kind of mumble something. So he gets off of his horse, and he says, "Did you say something?" And he gets close to him, and the Native American says, "Carriage drawn, 2 miles down the road, two horses. One black, one gray, two adults, man, flannel shirt, woman, blue dress, flowers, two children, one boy, one girl." In which the cowboy says, "I can't believe you could tell all of that from listening to the ground." He says, "No, they just ran me over. Go get them." That's the way that we normally act, though, right? Because we go into a situation in which we presume we know about the situation without ever really staying or listening well enough to figure out what's going on. And in the meantime, we just kind of run people over, we mow people over with our words. We don't need to be a kind of people who's trying to put more on our words than what we need to. In fact, that's what I believe is at the very heart of what Jesus is saying here in Matthew chapter 5 in verse 37. When he says, "But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no, and anything beyond this is evil." I believe what Jesus is really getting at is human conscience. And you might be thinking to yourself, as if this is the first time that you've ever read these words, or maybe it's been some time since you've read these words, that how could anything beyond a simple yes or a simple no be evil? Well, let me explain it for you. You see, when we go into a conversational context in which we are, with good intent, trying to help somebody understand something that they do not know, or to bring clarity to a subject that they have misunderstood, and we start forcing our words upon them at the expense of their journey or at the expense of their conscience. Now, I'm saying something important. Then what we've done is we've taken God off of the judgment seat and out of the throne room, and we have placed ourselves in His judgment seat at the center of His throne room, and we're asking people to yield their conscience to our conscience instead of yielding their conscience to God. And let me tell you, brethren, that is evil. Jesus wants us to be careful that we do not use our words manipulatively. And if we're not careful, then we can do that. No, God, I want to be clear here. God wants us to be clear, yes? But He doesn't want us to be clever. God wants us to be conscientious. But He doesn't want us to be coercive. He wants us to explain what we believe, but He doesn't want us to do it with manipulation. You see, it's like that old Oaky philosopher. She's actually not that old. Do we have any Oakies in the crowd? I don't want to. It's okay. Don't be shy. I wouldn't be ashamed. You could raise your hand higher than that. Do we have Oakies in the crowd? Oh, we have a couple. I want you to know this is a safe place, okay? I'm not going to say anything. It's like that Oaky philosopher, what's her name? Carrie Underwood, right? You've heard the song, "Jesus Take the Wheel," right? Are you familiar with that song? Meanwhile, God is in the back seat saying, "You thought you had the wheel this whole time?" In fact, he's in the front seat and you've been in the back seat. But that's our propensity, right? That's our inclination. That's the way that we're wired. We like to be in our control center, overseeing and overlooking everything, sometimes at the expense of a person's journey, spiritual, transformative journey, which all of us are on, regardless if you would identify that way. Every single person here, every single person that's not here, every person that you know is on some type of journey. And what we are called to be is we're called to be conscientious of where that person is at. Yes, be clear. Do not be clever. Be conscientious. Do not be coercive. Do not be forceful in the way that you talk to people. Because when we do, we end up in something like this. Not that will, Jesus. Jesus, take the will, fly off the road. Have you ever been around somebody that's pushy? Somebody's constantly pushing the envelope. Nobody likes that. You don't like that. And the truth is, let me speak truth here. The truth is, every single person here has convictions about something. But the thing is, those convictions were not born in a vacuum. It came through a process of learning and probably experience. You didn't come to have the convictions that you have because somebody forced you to have them. And therefore, we should not be forceful in our speech to one another. I am saying something that is absolutely vital to the discipling process. It's being respectful of where somebody else is at. Let your yes be yes, your no, no, and anything beyond this is evil. And so I preach a single point. Everything from the introduction to the illustrations to the text, which comes out of the text, revolves around one point. And this is your one point for the week. If you could remember the letter P, all right, there's two of them, then you got it. I've kind of sprinkled it throughout my talk this morning, but here it is. Kingdom living. Live your life in a way in which your words need no polish and your truth needs no push. No polish, no push. Because we don't like when somebody pushes us around. And we shouldn't have to say more, really, than what God says, right? And so, it's about trust and it's about respect. We look to God and we say, hey, we're just going to say what you want us to say, and then we're going to let it lay. And let your spirit and let your providence, through all the many things that God uses to try to get our attention, to bring that person closer to Him. Live your life in a way in which your word needs no polish and your truth needs no push. Your yes, yes, your no, no, and anything beyond that is evil. And so I have one encouragement for you. I said this last week, I'll continue to say things like this. The great end of knowing something is not fully understanding it, right? We think we come to Bible class, we come to a worship environment like this, and we've learned something. Well, the great end of really knowing it isn't just fully understanding. Let's take, for example, Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. That's not the great end of it. The end of it is life change. And that's what we want to create here at the West Irwin Church of Christ, a life that is lived for Jesus and for the service of helping people. And there's no better way to help people than to teach them about the one who created human life. So the great end of knowing is being able to apply the truths that we have learned in an environment like this to our lives. And perhaps the second one is like the first, in that we're trying to help somebody else do the same. So we're trying to apply it, and we're trying to share it. And so here is your take home. And it's a question. When you have conversations with people, when you find yourself in a relationship and you are trying to present a truth or perhaps a perspective that might reshape a part of somebody's worldview, if you're trying to suggest something to be helpful to people, ask yourself this question. Am I saying this to serve truth, or am I saying this to shape perception? Do your words carry weight because of your life, or do they need a sales pitch? Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Say what you must, and then let it lay. Do not be manipulative. Do not be coercive. Do not be clever. Say what God says, and then let God get to work. Otherwise, you might end up like the feller who was on the front side of this PowerPoint show. You get somebody reaching out, and it just ends in frustration. And God knows that we've done that. I've done that. If that's happened to you, I'll just speak for everybody. We're sorry. That's not our intent. Oftentimes, we come at something or we try to help in a situation and we say things that we shouldn't say. And so if that's been your experience, we ask for your forgiveness. If you're here this morning and you've been attending for the last 4 or 5 weeks, you've been hearing messages about kingdom living, and you've been thinking to yourself, well, this is something that I want to be part of, but you've never made the decision to do that. Let me tell you, the Bible is very, very clear on when a person consciously and respectfully makes a decision to make Jesus the Lord of their life. And that is seen in repentance and baptism. And it's not so that just so that you can get to heaven, but it's a moment in time in which you decide that God's way will be your way. And if that is you, and if that is the case this morning, then we would love to visit with you, and we'd love to be a service to you. So at this time, we're going to have a song of invitation. Do not simply think that during this time is the only time that you can respond. I'll be in the back. We have shepherds that are scattered throughout the auditorium. And if you're visiting and you came here with somebody, if you have a need, then don't leave here without letting us know how we can help you with that. So I'm going to ask that we all stand up and we sing this song as I invite you forward.